Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Ben, the son from My Pops Culture. Gilbert Gottfried was an amazingly talented and funny comedian. We were so fortunate and lucky to interview him, as well as have lunch with him, just 2 weeks before his passing. Thank you, Gilbert, for the laughter and insight. This particular podcast means so much to us. Enjoy!
It's My Pops Culture! Starring my son, Ben, and me, his dad.
Do you really have to say it like that, Dad?
With our guest star, the voice of filthy comedy, Gilbert Gottfried. I can't wait to get into this interview. I always wonder, as a parent,
yeah,
when do you allow your children to swear?
I mean, I feel like I was swearing young. Just living in your household, I must have been swearing young.
Because that's the thing, because I always had a horrible mouth. Like, I always swore at everything. But I always felt there's some parents who actually don't want any swearing. Like, my sister, I think, didn't want any swearing in the house. I was more about, listen, I'm fine if we're swearing in the house. I just don't want to hear it from you kids at school to your teacher. Like, whatever went on in our house with bad language, it was more in our house. And the bad language also, I never wanted to use in anger. Okay, can I embarrass you?
I mean, you're probably going to anyways, whether you ask or not. So just say it.
Okay, there's a story years ago, not this house, but in another house we lived in, when I had to get the basement renovated because I was going to make a play area for your kids.
Yeah.
And we hired this guy named Hector to be our contractor.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you remember Hector?
No.
Because you were like maybe 3 years old.
Yeah.
But also, I need to say the part of the backstory also is that you had a horrible couple ear infections when you were young. Mm-hmm. And when you were really young, 2 or 3, you actually spoke as if you had a speech impediment.
Okay.
And so anyways, and we didn't even realize that until later, and then went to speech therapy, but that's besides the point. So you used to love hanging out in the basement with Hector and watch him build the basement and renovate it. And one day I come home or whatever, and Hector goes, "Can I talk to you?"
Okay.
And I said, "Sure, what's up, Hector?" And he says, "Your son, he's saying some very bad language to me." Okay. And I was like, "What's my son saying to Hector, the contractor, right?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Hector, what did he say to you?" He said, do you want cock? He said, "Hector, do you want cock?" And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's really weird because your mom and I both never use that word in the mm-hmm. house. We've used shit or fuck, like, but never
the word cock.
Right. So he's like, "Your son say you want cock. Okay. So afterwards, we go upstairs and we say, we talk to you. And mom figures out, because of your speech impediment,
yeah,
you were saying to him, "Do you want to talk?" But you couldn't do the T sound.
Yeah.
And you said to him, "You want cock." And that's what he thought he heard. So it was like, oh, child abuse, the child services are going to call us now.
Yeah, because they're thinking I'm a 3-year-old wanting to show off my dick to a contractor.
No, it showed off. You asked him if he wanted it.
Okay.
Anyways, he did a beautiful job on the basement. But anyways, with swear words, I find it very interesting because I swear a lot. I just do. I swear a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because both you and I, we like comedy. We like funny movies. We like stand-up comedians. It's interesting for someone who's so liberal as myself, and I swear so much, I actually don't like how comedians swear so much now. Because when I was a kid or I was younger, there was a bunch of funny comedians and they didn't swear, but the jokes were funny.
Okay.
And so now I've been talking a lot and you've been very quiet.
I don't know.
So you can talk. Hi, you can talk now.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, that's a first. Yes.
Yeah. I can cock a little bit. No, I don't really get bothered by the swear words. It just, you know, it's part of my own vernacular. And I feel like when it's done well and it's not just to swear, it adds to humor and it can add to storytelling.
Do you know what the Dean Martin roasts are?
I know like the Comedy Central roast. I don't think I've ever watched like a Dean Martin roast.
Okay, so do you know what the Friars Club is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a Friars Club.
My God, you're such a liar. You don't know, have a clue what it is. What is the Friars Club?
I'm assuming it's like a comedy club.
Yeah. It's the Friars.
In L.A.?
They started in New York and then they had an L.A. branch. But the Friars Club was basically a members-only club where all of those great old comedians like your Milton Berles and your George Burns and your Sid Caesars, they could all go and, you know, you'd sit around and just joke with each other. Yeah. And they started the Dean Martin Roasts.
Okay.
They would have the man or woman of the hour that they would be roasting, and they would have the stage with the long table, and it would be on the dais, and there would be different people who were in television. They didn't even have anything to do with the celebrity that night, but they were on that channel. They were starring in some series on that, whatever channel this aired on.
Yeah.
Dean Martin was a film actor and singer, Martin and Lewis, and he would host it, and he was always drunk and smoking. Okay. And then he would be it was the Dean Martin roast. And then along the dais were different comedians. And you always knew what their shtick would be.
Yeah.
Don Rickles would be up there and he would be a horrible insult comedian. Then there would be Foster Brooks who would come up there and his shtick was he was always drunk.
Yeah.
And they would just go along the table making fun of everybody, but not a swear word in the house. You just laugh because they were so good at their delivery.
I think that swearing is good in comedy when it helps sell a joke. You don't have to do it all the time. Just as you taught us in the house, you can swear here and there, and swearing is acceptable to accentuate something, but you don't want us just walking into the house rampant swearing.
That's one point. That's the point in our household.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in comedy, you are either going to be a crass comedian, period, like an Andrew Dice Clay or a Lisa Lampanelli.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to create a joke and make it funny because you dropped in a swear word. I think that's don't use the swear words to try to make yourself funny.
I feel like when you just come out and I'm fuck this and I'm cock that and I'm shit ass this, it's like, it doesn't always land.
Well, first of all, no one walks in and says, I'm shit ass this.
Someone might.
Who would walk in? Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just shit ass this.
No.
No, hi, mom. How was your day? I'm just shit ass. You know that one of the first swear words I ever learned was from my mother.
What'd she teach you?
We were at a four-way stop.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. This is embarrassing. I was at a four-way stop with grandma, and this car started to my mom was there first. And the car at the four-way stop started to go ahead of us. And my mom honked at this woman. And the woman gave my mom the finger.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom rolled down her window and actually said to her, very classy, you C-word.
How old are you again in this?
I don't know, 12. And I was like, what's that word? I've never heard that before. But the best, when I look back at it, my mom was saying to this lady, very classy, you C-word. And I mean, so... that's the most unclassy thing you could ever say. That's the first time I ever heard like that word I ever heard was from my mother.
I think your mom or your mom, my grandma, taught us all how to swear.
People don't realize that. My mom taught all of the kids, all of my kids, every swear.
Whenever we would hang out with grandma, we'd always come home and you say, what did grandma teach you today?
Yes.
What word did grandma teach you today? What phrase did grandma teach you today? I think it's just funny that you have this affinity for crassness, you have a hate on for crassness, but you also have a love of one of the most crass comedians, which is Gilbert Gottfried.
When Comedy Central looked at this dais, they said, we just don't have enough washed up, repugnant, drug addicted menopausal has-beens. Get me Carrie Fisher.
Well, because I think, first of all, Gilbert Gottfried is a great joke teller. He has energy. He has a beginning, middle, and end to his jokes. He knows how to land the punchline really well. And the other thing with Gilbert Gottfried, which I find is really interesting, is he's a dichotomy, because you never think, when you look at this guy, you're always surprised what comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's really, thank you for being so supportive in this conversation. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just, you give me a sentence and you do the sentence as if you're going to like, give me something more, and then you stop.
Mm-hmm. That's me doing you. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you did stand up, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, welcome. And here's Ben Kaplan. Woo! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big laughs all
over. That would be you. Mm-hmm.
It'd be my shtick, my whole thing.
Your whole shtick would be the mm-hmm comedian.
Maybe a tight five.
Yes, there you go. You could never do stand-up. Stand-up's a hard job.
I've done stand-up before. I did a thing.
When did you do stand-up?
Well, like 2 years ago.
And how's that going for you? How's that career going for you?
Flourishing.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I'm at the height of my career this time.
I would be a really good stand-up comedian.
All right.
Would you not think I'd be a good stand-up comedian?
I've seen your sets at home. I don't need to see them out in public.
Okay, so let's go to Gilbert. Can I push the Zoom button this time?
I don't like you touching the buttons.
Hold on. Push this. Button? Did you see what I did there? I used an F word. Yeah. Isn't that clever?
That's great.
So push the button, you bastard. Are you waiting for us to talk first,
yeah.
Gilbert?
Yeah. we can start if you'd like.
How are ya?
Eh.
What's eh mean?
Yeah, just what it sounds like.
Listen, we're so thrilled to have you, Gilbert. You know what? We share something common, which is comedy, and we both love your comedy, and that's what we want to talk to you about today.
Oh, thank you.
It's a little like intimidating.
You're intimidated. Why?
Because I think we both have a shared passion for your work, and it's such a weird thing to be able to meet you and to speak to you.
Wow. At least someone's a fan of mine.
Well, you know what? We were talking earlier, Gilbert, my son and I, about insult comedy.
Yes.
What is the definition of insult comedy? What does it mean?
Well, I always felt like a roast was like, you know, you tear someone to shreds and they laugh to show they're a good sport.
And what if they don't laugh?
Then it makes it then it's a fight scene.
You know what? You brought up roast. Okay, so here's the thing. I used to love the Dean Martin roast when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But in the Dean Martin roast, the comedians never swore, ever. And it was funny.
When Lucy was just an innocent kid of 19... she always had that frightened look of a new girl at a Sinatra party.
And then the Comedy Central, which is his generation,
we swear all the fucking time. Yeah,
yeah. What changed, Gilbert?
Well, they weren't allowed to back then. When you figure, you know, not that long ago, pregnant was a dirty word on TV. And, if you said even damn by itself was bad, but goddamn, forget it. That was all. So they weren't allowed any of that stuff. And then it became a free-for-all. I remember meeting Milton Berle once, and he said that during those roasts, they would film, like a lot of times they'd film separately. They'd put the camera on them and go, Oh, yeah, okay, Milt, you just got a real zinger now. And, Milt, do that, like, I can't believe they said that.
So they just shot cutaways?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah, so they're all swearing.
Yes, exactly.
But, okay, but Gilbert, tell my son Ben, what's the rumor in Hollywood about Milton Berle?
He's supposed to have, like the biggest dick. Anyone on my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, I think we've had maybe five people who have seen Milton Berle's cock. And it,
like how big is this thing supposed to be?
I don't. No one ever took out a tape measure.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard a story that Milton Berle and Tom Jones challenged each other to who had a bigger cock. And Milton Berle, he opens up his pants, he takes his cock a little bit out, and Tom Jones goes, all right. And that was it. You know?
And the only person today that can verify that is Tom Jones.
Gilbert, I'm wondering if you can tell me more about, like, the Dean Martin roast.
With the Dean Martin roast,
yes.
What always got me was, like, I don't know, they'd roast, say, Orson Welles.
Yes.
And one of the roastees would be, like, Gary Coleman. And you go, okay, so what... Was Gary Coleman in Citizen Kane, and I don't remember him from it? How is there a connection?
There was no connection. Like, you would always have LaWanda Page show
yes,
up.
Yes, and she'd be always as Aunt Esther. She'd come out.
Yes, yes.
And like, Peter Falk once did a roast as Columbo. Art Carney did one as Ed Norton.
Norton.
Yeah, they play their characters from TV, which always look weird.
I was telling Ben there was an comedian, still alive, named Ruth Buzzy.
Yes, yes. She was the old lady. She would play the old lady on the park bench on Rowan and Martin's Laughing. I forget what that character's name was.
Ben, what did I tell you she does?
Oh, she hits people with a bag or something.
She had a big purse and she'd whack people. So she'd always go as that character to the roast. And, you know, she'd hit Frank Sinatra or someone and start hitting them with the purse.
When I first met him, he only sang in the shower. Well, take it from me, girls. He didn't have much to sing about.
So, I mean, I've got to ask you, Gilbert, out of all these comedians you grew up with, who did you admire the most?
Oh, God, so many. Well, Jerry Lewis, I always liked. Groucho Marx, Jack Benny.
Do you know who they are?
I know the Marx Brothers. Of course I know that.
Jack Benny.
I would like to tell you one joke. And as a rule, I don't tell jokes. You know, I just ramble.
And he was at a roast that wasn't being televised. And it was a roast of Georgie Jessel. He said Jack Benny was on stage going, well, George has to leave early tonight. He's flying to Israel. You see, he's got a cunt in high pitch. And he goes, oh, I don't mean a woman. I mean an actual cunt. He wears it for a toupee. And the...
Jack Benny's...
The idea of being there and have witnessed Jack Benny saying that would have been beyond incredible.
He's still under the belief that clean comedy is the best comedy.
No.
That was kind of what you were telling me.
The clean comics were great, but if you're going to be a dirty comic, you better be funny. Don't just use swear words for a reaction. I don't like that.
It's funny. Like, for years, most of the years, of my career. I would go out of my way to be clean in that, like, instead of saying fuck, I'd say, oh, have sex with, and because I remember, and I still get this way, when I'll watch TV and a guy will tell a joke and say the punchline is, I was wearing a hat. And you go, that's not funny. And then you think, oh, wait a minute. When they saw him in the nightclub, he said, and I wore a fucking hat. And they said, hey, that's a great joke. Just cut out fucking, not realizing fucking is the only thing anyone was laughing at.
So do you think you need to swear in comedy to make it funnier?
It's weird. It's like, you know, it's funny to say that I used to work clean because I did used to work clean. Now I offend myself up there. Yeah, but like you said, it better be funny first.
Right.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Gilbert's got two young children. We were talk about living in our house.
We were raised around swearing. Like we weren't raised to be animals with it. We weren't raised to go out and call someone a fucking idiot. Like we weren't raised to be aggressive, but we were raised, oh, you can swear. You drop something, you say fuck. You know, you're in a bad mood, you can say something, right? Do you talk that way around your children, or is that, you know, like what kind of stuff do you feel comfortable saying around your kids?
See, me being a parent is, if one of my kids says a dirty word, I can't with a straight face say to them, oh, no, you can't say that. That's a bad word.
But do you swear in front of your kids? Do you swear in front of them?
Yeah. Hey. The authorities will come and take my kids away now. Yeah. But I remember something as far as swearing goes, a little. This is around the time of September 11th. So on one news show, they had a shot. They had a film of one of the planes crashing into the tower. And it was from somebody's cell phone. They filmed it. And then they took that and put it on the air. And they said, you know, this is from someone's cell phone. And this is the second plane hitting the second tower. And, you know, while this is going, and you see like the World Trade Center collapse and a giant plane smashing. And, you know, you hear some guy go, in the crowd go, oh, fuck. And they went back to the news, and the anchorman says, I really want to apologize for that word being in there. We didn't have a chance to watch the tape and edit it. And I thought, we just watched 3,000 people murdered, and oh, fuck is the obscenity.
It's true. Is this the first time you're telling that to us? Or is this something you're just remembering now?
No, I remember. That always stuck with me. I thought, that's what he's thinking of now?
Yeah.
Fuck is the bad thing?
Yeah. People have warped perceptions, you know? People are morons. People are morons, you know? Ben, go ahead. What did you wanted to bring up something? Speaking of morons,
I'll take this stage. I mean, I know we've talked about like some old comedians and people that you've admired. You and my dad share. Are there any comics of my generation that have really been like capturing your eye right now?
It's so funny because I've gotten to that point in comedy where I'm like a terrible audience because I'll watch a comic and go, ah, that's clever. Oh, that was good, yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like, I'm sure film directors watch a movie and go, see, I would have filmed that differently. That would have been more to the side, yeah.
You're more of a critic now.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm an old film buff. Gilbert. So I want to know what is your favorite old movie? I'm curious about that.
Oh, I don't really have one. There are so many. Oh, like The Maltese Falcon's a great movie.
Yep.
Oh, when I was on Turner Classic Movies, and they had me pick four movies, so I showed Freaks.
Yes.
That was a Todd Browning.
1932.
Yes. And another one that might seem old to some people, but I saw it in the theater, The Conversation.
Hackman.
Yeah. And Burt Lancaster in The Swimmer. And yeah. and Of Mice and Men with Lon Chaney Jr. and Burgess Meredith. I think that one still holds up.
Yes. Ben, there's four movies you need to watch.
I was just
going to
say, just so you can have a glimpse into what life in my household is like, every time a film is named or something, it's he mentions the year, he mentions the star, he mentions this. It's like living with an encyclopedia when I'm talking to him.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, but you don't even you've never seen any of those fucking movies.
I know. So I've never seen the films, and you say all this information that means nothing to me sometimes.
But isn't it frustrating? Like everything we watch, I believe everything we watch in comedy today, or in film today, or in television today, had its roots somewhere.
Yes.
Film today had its roots in movies from 50 years ago, from 70 years ago. Comedians of today had their roots in the Jack Bennies and the Groucho Marx.
Yes.
And it all came, it's evolved. So if you don't have an appreciation of where it came from, then you shouldn't have an appreciation of where it is today. That's just me.
It's kind of like if you're in a band now and somebody says, oh, there was a composer, Beethoven. And you go, nah, I'm not familiar with that name. You don't have to be a fan of Beethoven, but
right.
You should know, like, Fred Astaire. Nobody
yes.
will know who Fred Astaire is now, but
no.
If you dance, you should know who Fred Astaire was.
Gilbert, I'd like to ask you, why do you think that celebrity roasts have become such a big part of pop culture?
I did a roast, a different roast that was like a setup, that Jeff Ross did about a year or two ago. That was the roast of Anne Frank.
Yes, I saw.
And I was Hitler.
I think I left the oven on.
Wow.
And like Jeff Ross said, when he offered it to me, he said that I said yes before he got to Lur. Because I remember thinking, when I heard that, I thought, oh, this is so offensive and such horrible taste. I have to do it.
That was the historical roast, right?
Yes.
Those were the, yes. How is that allowed now? Like, we can laugh. Like, there's a time in life where we can just laugh at stuff. But is it still offensive or is it funny?
It was funny because that one was like, it seemed like half and half. Some were totally offended. Some loved it. And my favorite tweet that I saw about the roast was Hitler killing people is not funny. A Jew dressed as Hitler with three other Jews giving him shit is funny.
Right.
And I thought, that's it. There are two Three Stooges shorts. One of them was You Nazi Spy.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Where Mose Hitler and I think Curly Mussolini. And then it was followed by what I think another one where Mose Hitler. And this is my favorite Three Stooges title, I'll Never Heil Again. And I thought, this is so great because it's around that time period
yes.
before Charlie Chaplin came out with The Great Dictator.
Right.
And I thought, here are these three ridiculous Jews totally tearing apart Hitler.
That's the thing, too. Only us Jews could do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't have a non-Jew making fun of Hitler. It has to be a Jew doing it.
Yes. Yes.
You can't have a non-Jew doing a roast of Anne Frank.
No.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's bad taste.
Yeah.
It's bad taste. Yeah. Tell the story of Anne Frank.
Oh, I should mention the Anne Frank thing. Because we went to the Anne Frank house, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I took the kids to Amsterdam.
And we grew up in we went to private Jewish school. So like we heard of Anne Frank.
It was private, don't tell anybody.
Every year.
Yeah.
So we get to the Anne Frank house and we're always told it's the attic. She lives in the attic. Walk in the Anne Frank house, I'm like, this is the attic? This place was huge.
No, but we walk out of there and I go, kids, so what did you think of the Anne Frank house? And my middle son says, actually, she didn't have it too bad. It's a nice Airbnb. Yeah. I go, that was horrible.
My first apartment was an attic, and it was a smaller apartment than Anne Frank's attic.
Yeah, Anne Frank didn't have it too bad.
I was once in Germany, and they have tours of Dachau. It's still standing, so I went on the tour, and then couple of months later, I did a club in Jersey, and after the show, some guy walks up to me with his wife and says, with a big smile on his face, and he says, we were in Dachau together. And I thought, looking at him with a big smile, I thought, well, some people handle it better than others, I guess.
But again, no other person could tell that joke except a Jew right now. You know what I'm saying?
It's like if you're sitting with a family member, you could go, oh, mom's an idiot, dad's a worthless drunk, and it's fine. But if someone outside of your family says, oh, I saw your dad wearing a weird-looking tie, and it's like, what do you mean? Why did he say that? What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So, yeah.
Right. You have to be part of, you got to be within a circle to make insult jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but, I agree with that.
Because we make fun of each other all the time.
Yeah.
If you were just outside of the family, you'd be a piece of shit for doing talking like that to me.
Well,
right?
He still could be a piece of shit.
Yeah, oh, I give you very much a piece of shit matter. Talking like this.
Gilbert, what do you think about my mother? The first time I heard the C word was from my mother. What do you think about that? No, that's the truth. I want to know what you think. I never heard that word before until my mom said it.
Was it during Yom Kippur? Because if you read in the Talmud, you hear that word a lot.
A lot. She said it to the rabbi's wife.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Carol Burnett or Carol Baskin?
Oh, is she with the Tiger Woman?
Yes.
I got Carol Baskin, I guess. Because it's so weird. People are pretty much 99% sure that she killed her last husband. Well, it's kind of like if O.J. Simpson was walking down the street, people would want to have their picture taken with him. I was once at a party when O.J. Simpson was known as a football player slash actor. And he recognized me and did an imitation of me. And I thought, God, I wish I had a movie camera with me. And it's like, I always think if I could go back in time, I would film him doing me. And you notice, that's what I'd go back in time for. I wouldn't stop him from killing those two people. Because then him doing me, it would be like, yeah, so that's that football player actor.
How was the impression?
Yeah.
Was it a good impression?
I mean, for a murder of two people, it was good.
but you know what? You actually said something, Gilbert. I don't even think you realize what you said. You said, well, I met O.J. Simpson when he was a football player slash actor. You mean like a slash actor?
Yeah.
Like, is that what you meant?
It should be a football player slash actor.
It's so true.
Yeah, I had a question, Gilbert.
Yeah.
What is your favorite dirtiest joke?
Oh, God. I have so many.
So many.
What's the worst part about eating your grandmother's pussy? Hitting your head on the lid of the coffin.
Gilbert, my son's here.
One time, I had a guy come up to me after a show, and he said, oh, I got a joke for you. And he says, a guy goes to a hooker named Hurricane Hannah, and they're fucking, and she lets out a big fart. And he says, what's that? And she goes, it's a tornado. And then her pussy starts getting dripping wet. And he says, what's that? And he says, it's a thunderstorm. And then the guy gets dressed, starts walking out. She goes, where are you going? And he says, who can fucking weather like this? And he says to me after that, you might have to clean it up on TV. So it's like, yeah, I'm doing Merv Griffin next week. And if I just one or two words, and that joke will work.
Does cable represent the shift when comedy got dirtier? Like, when do you think comedy was able to... We were able to accept dirtier comedy.
Well, it seems like it's been years going on. Because, there was Lenny Bruce.
Like, a lady can't go through a plate glass window and go to bed with you 5 seconds later. But guys can have head-on collisions with Greyhound buses. Not only the hospital and the ambulance, the guy makes play for the nurse.
And it's funny. It's like, you listen to Lenny Bruce routines now. And you go, what was so shocking and dirty about that? And so it's like gradually over the years, like I was saying, like pregnant was, that was a curse word.
Yeah.
And do you think comedy's ever going to get like, it can ever get too dirty or?
You know, not for my
jokes. Funny, it's funny. I thought you were pretty tame.
I love that Gilbert laughs at his own jokes.
Yeah.
Well, they're funny.
They are funny, but they're the funny fact jokes. That he's killing himself here.
Yes.
Laughing at his jokes. Like we are too, but you know, he's having the best, he's his best audience.
I mean, Gilbert, what in your eyes like makes a good comedian?
Oh, God. A short Jewish, play the parrot in Aladdin. These are all, I say it about every...
So there's only a few things that make a great comedian.
It's an easy list.
It's an easy list. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. We're going to be interviewing Carol Burnett tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Carol Burnett? We'd love to know.
Ah, jeez.
And don't say she's no Carol Baskin.
Yeah. Well, she's no Carol Baskin. See, that's the thing. You know, Carol Burnett's good, but she never murdered any of her husbands. So she'll always be a few steps.
Yes, she'll be a second-rate Carol compared to Carol Baskin.
Behind Carol Baskin. I mean, Carol Burnett was funny, but did she ever kill one of her husbands and hide the body for all these years? No.
Hey, Carol Burnett never killed her husband and said, "I'm so glad we had this time together." When you were like, obviously you're also a pop culture nut. You know about classic movies. What TV shows did you love? What did you love watching?
Oh God! I liked Get Smart.
Yes.
You know, Rowan and Martin's Laughing, and I also back then, you know, it wasn't like searching out movies. Movies were the greatest film school in the world was in your living room. You turned on TV, there were old movies.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know what's funny? I just watched a couple of Little Rascals shorts recently.
The best.
It's like a bad acid dream.
Why? I have such a soft spot for the Art Gang comedies. Why?
I don't know. When you watch it now, when I watch it, I go, ooh, this is eerie.
It's also very inappropriate. Can I say that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yeah.
I have forced Ben, how many years? I forced you to watch Our Gang. Mm-hmm. Right? Our Gang, old movies.
Yeah.
Every time, Gilbert, I have a huge autograph collection that I've collected for 30 years, and I have probably every film. I've got Hunts Hall's autograph. I've got, like, all of these wonderful...
Okay, before you go any further, I heard Hunts Hall had a big dick.
That's why I got his autograph.
Yeah. He actually signed the picture with his dick.
Yeah, he dipped it in ink. And
just use the tip to write the signature.
Oh, honestly, Gilbert, if I showed you my autograph collection, I try to share it with my kids, and I'll say to Ben, you know who this person was? This is Jean Tierney. She was one of the most beautiful actresses, or Hedy Lamarr, or Marlene Dietrich, or I'll tell him all these people I have. He doesn't give two shits. You don't care. But if it weren't for these people, we wouldn't have the celebrities we have today. We wouldn't have the movies we have today.
I have three autographs hanging on my wall.
Who do you have?
One time I got a job for a little while as working the concessions in the Broadway theaters, selling, you know, sodas and everything like. And one of the plays at that time was A Matter of Gravity with Christopher Reeves and Katharine Hepburn.
Wow.
And so we got Katharine Hepburn would come in and talk to us before the audience came in. So I have an autograph photo of Katharine Hepburn.
That's amazing.
And one time I saw, they said that Jimmy Durante wasn't feeling well. So I sent him a get well card. I was a kid. And now I have like Jimmy Durante. And then.
Did he send you a thank you note for the get well card?
He sent back a note. Yeah. Saying he was so happy he received it. And then I was also, I used to read Famous Monsters of Filmland. And they said that Lon Chaney Jr. was sick. So I sent him a get well card, and I got sent back a photo of the Wolfman signed Lon Chaney.
It seems that everybody Gilbert writes to died.
Yeah, I don't have one living autograph.
Yeah, is there any celebrity that has actually left you the most starstruck that you've ever met or you've interacted with?
so many. Well, let's see, when I met Jerry Lewis, because I grew up on his movies. And best of all, I remember they were putting out a plaque in front of the Friars Club for him. And there was a little ceremony there. And they had a chair, like, you know, one of those chairs, those high chairs for me. And I see right next to me, who they're honoring is Jerry Lewis. And he's like heckling the people who are speaking. And he's being everything that you want Jerry Lewis to be. He's being Jerry Lewis. And best of all, he would heckle him and then laugh and grab my arm, like to pull me in on the joke. And I thought, this is amazing.
It's always amazing when you meet someone you've admired for so many.
And they actually turn out to be a good person.
Yes.
I met Vincent Price twice. That was pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Because I was on Thick of the Night, the Alan Thicke talk show that was going to knock Carson off the air. And if you notice, Carson's not on the air now. So
you worked. Send him a get well card?
So I went on and I was doing something on stage for the show. And I was doing some imitations. And right after I got off, I sat on the panel and I feel this hand on my shoulder. And I turn around, it's Vincent Price. And he said, "I loved your Peter Lorre imitation." And then years later, I was at this horror event and Price was there. And I went over to him and I said, "Look, you probably don't remember me or this show, but I met you on Thick of the Night." And he said, "Oh, yes, that was a terrible show."
Well, listen, on behalf of Ben and I, well, I'll let Ben speak, but I just wanted to say we've been so thankful to chat with you. We've had the best time, Gilbert. We're such huge fans. And
Actually, Gilbert, I have another question. What do you think you're most proud of in your career?
Oh, a few. Well, the one that I'm amazed by that I'm in, that I start to remember it and I remind myself, like Aladdin. Mm-hmm. Because I used to, when they'd interview me, I'd say, "Oh, well, the movie has romance, it's got comedy, it's got action, it's got music. And if it didn't have me, it would be a quality production." And I think of it. I think of There I Am in Aladdin. And Aladdin is an out-and-out quality production. Mm-hmm. I've been in other movies like Funky Monkey. I never saw. I think it was originally called Spy Chimp. So that I'm proud of that one scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
"Well, sir, you have 25 unpaid parking tickets, and it's your car, so we have to take you in."
"Wait a second, I've got an idea. Is there something that I have in this office that I could hand to you and that would make you kind of forget that you're holding those little pink tickets there?"
Where me and Eddie Murphy are arguing about the traffic tickets because we were like improvising that.
Right.
We did it differently each time. So that I was proud of. And of course, the Problem Child movies.
You know, it's pretty amazing, Gilbert. The fact is that you're such a lover of classic movies, and Aladdin is a classic film that you were part of, which is so cool.
I know. It's like, it's funny when people say to me, "Do you realize that parrot will live on forever?" And I always say, "Well, I'd rather the parrot die and me live on forever." If I had the choice, I love the parrot. But if it's me and him, if God came down and said, "Hey, you know, I can kill that parrot, but let you live, One more day. Okay. Your Kill the God, bear. Who am I to argue? But yeah, that, and it's like a Disney classic.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. You're part of Disney.
Yeah.
Part of Disney history. Thank Mr. Gilbert, Ben.
Thank you for coming on this the show with us today. It's an honor. It's a joy.
You.
I don't know what else to say.
It was kind of a joy. It was an honor. It was kind of a joy.
It kind of a joy.
And then maybe we'll leave here after Gilbert. I'll put you down. We'll watch Freaks, Todd Browning's Freaks.
Yeah.
We'll watch a classic movie after this. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, and watch The Black Cat with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi.
Do you know who Boris Karloff is?
No.
Do you know who Bela Lugosi is? Okay.
I need an education.
And you've probably heard someone imitating Bela Lugosi in like 100 different cartoons and stuff. Even better, did you ever watch Sesame Street?
Yes.
5, 6, 6 blocks! Yes! Thank you very much.
The Count.
Okay.
Is Bela Lugosi's voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was a Bela Lugosi imitation.
And Big Bird was Boris Karloff.
Yes.
And
Peter Lorre was Ernie.
Yeah, and Oscar the Grouch was Charles Laughton. Okay, Gilbert, we are going to let you go. I'm going to put on some TCM, Turner Classic Movies for Ben. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Gilbert. Be well, man. You. Cheers.
So that was a nice podcast to listen to you and Gilbert talk. It was nice to be on the sidelines for it.
Oh, well, is that a shot?
No, it's not a shot. Look, I'm not upset about it. We had a comedy legend on, but I'm sure you were in paradise talking.
I had the best time. You could have gone upstairs and gotten yourself a coffee or something and come back in an hour. But
listen, I was enjoying the jokes. But there's times where I'm like, yeah, I don't know this film from the 30s or 40s. And
you know what? There's part of me that was like, maybe Ben, I wish you got more of the stories he was talking about and more of the classic films. But then selfishly, I was more like, I don't really care.
Listen, I got to hear Gilbert Gottfried say cock. So that's,
there you go.
That's all I need.
There you go. That's really, but you know what? It's interesting. You know, he's a very interesting guy. Mm-hmm. He's not just a comedian. He knows a lot about classic film, classic television. He really knows also, I really believe how do I say? There's a lot of people who want to become directors in film or in television, or they want to become actors, but they don't know anything about the history of film or television. Here's a gentleman who is a well-known comedian who knows about comedy, and he knows about the comedy greats. Like, that's really the coolest thing. I really have a lot of respect for somebody who knows the roots of the industry that he's in.
And I was just interested when he was talking about starting clean.
Yes.
Because he's such a, I mean, you heard him for on the podcast.
Well, that's the interesting point. Like, so let's take it back to what you and I talked about earlier about the evolution of comedy. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, it was clean what we saw.
Well, clean what you saw.
Right, but yeah. I'm saying he started in as a clean comic.
Yeah.
And then he became more into the insult comedy and more blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he's having jokes about having oral sex with your grandmother in a coffin.
Yeah.
Right? I was a little... That one, I have to say, as funny as it was, I cringed a little because I'm sitting with my son while he's telling that joke.
I still thought it was funny.
Okay.
I still laughed.
It was funny. Okay. But one of the cool things is, like, can I just say, this is a true comedian. You know why he's a true comedian? Because he came on here not prepared. Mm-hmm. We didn't send him any questions in advance. And guess what? He was fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Funny.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
No, you weren't here.
I was there.
You were really not here for our...
I was there. I was sitting. I was listening.
Him and I were talking about D. Martin Rose. We were talking about old movies. You had checked out. We were in the Gilbert Gottfried Marshall Kaplan Hotel, and you checked out.
You mentioned Ruth Buzzy, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, Ruth Buzzy. And the things, he knew Ruth Buzzy.
He did.
That's pretty amazing.
It was still a pleasure for me to be able to talk with him and laugh with him and still learn from him as well.
Yes, that's true. But now, more importantly, you and I have to have a talk about what old movies. What, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start making a list of old films that I think that you should start watching. Mm-hmm. And we can watch them together. How does that sound?
Oh, like a nightmare.
You're such an ass. Why would you say that?
Then I got to come here, spend my weekends, and start watching all these movies. I got stuff to do.
Or why don't we just talk about a movie, we watch it at our own place, and then...
I can handle that.
Okay, so I'll make a list of old movies to watch.
Yeah.
And
I'll watch the old
movies. And for you to get an appreciation. Have you ever seen Citizen Kane?
Yeah, I've seen Citizen Kane.
Oh, that's good. Okay. So that's, I don't have to put that on the list.
No.
Okay, but maybe that's something you and I actually can start to do.
Okay.
Joking,
father-son activity.
Yeah, joking aside, kidding aside, you know, here we are doing pop culture. Let's start watching a few old movies together and get it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Appreciation. Deal?
I can work on that with you.
Okay. My, oh, my. Wasn't that fun, folks?
Yeah, my, oh, my is right.